the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I'm going to serve him till I die.
I'm on the battlefield
for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Him that I'm going to serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, we're on the battlefield
for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. For my
Lord. Oh, I promised him that
master's hand, and I joined the Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Let's sing about it, church. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
For my Lord,
I'm on the battlefield
for my Lord.
I promised him that I'm going to serve. I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Amen. And I'm proud to serve in this army. Are you glad? Are you proud to serve in this army? Amen. We have so many veterans here in the church that have served for our country, and we certainly never want to take that for granted. We always want to appreciate those brothers and sisters that have done that. But we're all a soldier of some sort in another army. And this one is the most important army you could ever be in. It is. It's in defense of your king. How many of you want to be a good defender? How many of you want to defend the faith? How many of you want to be not a survivor but an overcomer? You've been made more than overcomers. Look at somebody, shake their hand, say, God bless you, overcomer. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you, overcomer. Everyone, play some more of it. Let's sing a little more of that this morning. Amen. God bless you guys.
Bless you, overcomer.
I left my friends and kindred bound for the promised land.
Oh, yeah.
The grace of God upon me, my Bible in my hand, and distant lands I trod, crying, sinner, come to God. I'm on the battlefield.
Oh, let's
for
sing
my
with
Lord.
All of our hearts. Well, I'm on the battlefield
for my Lord.
Yes, I'm on the battlefield
for my Lord.
Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request this morning. Isaiah and Shia Vaughn are both home with flu. and needs our prayers this morning, so we want to remember those folks in prayer as we pray. Brother Mark Simpson. Brother Mark Simonson, I'll get it right, from Saskatchewan, Canada. I just went through a brain tumor operation. How I appreciate the resources your church provide, from the preaching of the word to the singing. How encouraging. God bless you. Looking forward to the day that we meet. So that's a good testimony from a brother in Saskatchewan, Canada. Let's just hold him to our hearts in prayer. Thank God for these folks. May God bless them. Brother Lynn Gibbs from Florence, South Carolina, passed away last night. He was a pastor of a message church there in Florence. So we certainly want to pray for that family, that church family, that the Lord would be mindful of them during this time of their life. Mike Johnson says, I have a friend in Maryville named Randy Sneed, who has been diagnosed with stage 4 esophagus cancer. Please pray for Randy and his wife, Pam, that the Lord would reveal his will to them in this situation. So we just remember that family in prayer today, that man in particular. Sister Teresa White says, please have prayer for my cousin's husband, Frank McComas. He fell taking down his 20-foot deer stand yesterday, broke his back in two places, fractured in two places, and strained his muscles on his right side. Also, his son-in-law strained his muscles, breaking his fall. So they're asking that we would remember those folks in prayer today as we pray. We'll just commit them unto the Lord. The Sackers send this in to please pray for Martha Sackers' aunt, Reva Jones, in Sneedville. She is having severe pain in her leg, and at 82, she lives alone out in the country and is having a very difficult time. Martha is helping her this weekend. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's pray for that need today as we pray. Let me make this announcement. There will be a memorial service for Tori Jones. That's the great-granddaughter of Sister Louise McKinney, here at the church on Tuesday, December the 20th. Receiving line will be from 6 to 7, with the service beginning at 7. So that's this coming Tuesday night. If you could be here in that service, I know it would be appreciated. So let's remember those folks as we pray. Sister Brenda Jones says, I injured my shoulder and arm, and an unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Please remember in prayer the child, Dylan Castillo Belafana Marina. It's a little one-year-old who is hospitalized with pneumonia, and the doctors cannot reduce the fever. Thank you so very much. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request as we pray this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs, certainly want to continue to remember those that are sick in our assembly, that the Lord would just be mindful of them, different ones that are going through very tragic, difficult times of their life, but we're so glad that we have a source that we can go to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When people say the most kindest words that they can think of and still it don't really help, you've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Closer than a brother, and he's more than willing to help you. Do you believe that this morning? God bless you. Let's stand this morning as we get ready to pray. We're just so thankful to have all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Just a hectic, busy time of the year, but we wanna never take for granted and not appreciate what God has done for us. You know, we're facing the end of another year in another couple of weeks or week or so, something like that. This year will be gone, and God has kept us together in unity. God has kept us together as a church family, and I certainly appreciate that, don't you? I'm glad I'm not a casualty of Happy Valley Church, but I am a victor. I'm an overcomer in this assembly. How about you? Are you glad about it? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. You love Him this morning. Brother Swanson, come this morning, Brother David. We're victors today. God bless you, victors. Somebody say, God bless all of our victors. Amen. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you again, Lord. It's such a privilege to come this morning. We're so grateful, Lord, that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We know that there's many needs, Lord, and many people suffering. But, Lord, you know all about those things. You knew before the foundation of the world everything we'd go through. That doesn't take away our victory, Lord. It doesn't take away our joy. Our joy, our victory is based on you, not on our situations, not on our circumstances, but in you, in Christ alone. Thank you for that, Lord. May you just come now. May we be able to lay aside things that would distract us, Lord. We've been taught now our enemy comes and he throws fiery darts at us, Lord, thoughts that come at us constantly. But may you help us, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, just to be able to put everything down. May we concentrate. May we be able to receive the word that you have for us, Lord. May it be quickened to our hearts. May we receive it. May it become flesh in our lives, Lord, because that's what we really want. This time of year, we talk about a baby in a manger where you came and became flesh in humanity and the Christ child. But today, Lord, this December of 2016, may you become flesh in our lives, I pray. Anoint us, Lord. Anoint the preaching. Anoint the singing. We commit all things to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, we're going to have our time to give our thanks and our praise and our adoration, and we'll never find the right words, but all we can do is thank Him for what He's done for us. Are you glad for a message of grace? Are you glad for the grace of God in your life? His mercy in your life? Where He's brought you from? Where He's brought you to? Where He's taking you to? It's out of this world, folks. It's absolutely out of this world. Ushers, come receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor today, God bless you. We're glad to have every one of you. Those that are streaming today, may this service be a great blessing to those folks wherever they're streaming from in this world today. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, we'd like to hear you lead the verses, buddy.
Thank you.
Just make yourself at home.
Okay.
I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. Not been easy. At times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll get the chance to thank Him face to face.
Oh, with the reason that I'm standing,
stands in front of me.
Every battle that I fought, it'll fade from memory.
Fall down on my knees.
Well, with the reason
And at times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all. But he's kept me with his amazing grace. And someday soon I'll get the chance to thank him face to face.
When the reason
that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Every battle
that
I've ever fought
fades from me.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can be seated this morning. We have a couple of songs this morning. We're going to move right along into the service. Sister Chloe Martin, if she'd come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us. Brother Harry going to give us a song this morning. Also, we have a baby dedication this morning, so we want to hurry right along. We do have a couple of Christmas cards to two very distinguished people in our congregation. That's Brother Donnie and Sister Carol. We certainly appreciate our pastor and his wife, his family, what they mean to this local assembly. And I know they appreciate you as being members under this great ministry. We're under a wonderful ministry here at Happy Valley. We're not all of it, but we're part of it. Amen. Appreciate Sister Martin giving us a song this morning. I'll put these on Brother Donnie's desk. And, well, just good to see all of you this morning. And if I don't get a chance to say it, Merry Christmas to everybody. Everybody, Merry Christmas to you. God bless you. Let's give our singers one more hand as they get ready to sing for you today.
Down when I hear that trumpet sound. This thing, this must have been somebody that wasn't here at the program. So, everybody that was here, I'm sorry. I heard Brother Branham say this week, you know, we often talk about if it's a husband or wife or son or daughter, they don't know what to get their significant other or whatever. I'm sure we as the bride would love to get Jesus something for Christmas, especially considering it's supposed to be his birthday. And I heard Brother Branham say, there's something you can give him, yourself. And I pray and hope that not me and all of us, I'm sure there's something we could give up for the Lord and get closer to him. I pray we would this at this time. Oh come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel. Oh come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know your baby boy has walked to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Oh, Mary, Mary, did you know?
Little bride, do you know? Do you know what you're carrying in your heart is the great I am? It ain't just this way no more. It's this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let me get started. Let's dedicate a baby. Andrew and Sister Anna will bring their little child to them. We'll dedicate them to the Lord.
Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to
our heads together. Heavenly Father, because of what we just heard the song being sung, you came to this earth. It's hard for us to fathom and comprehend, but one time you were probably about this size. Your little tiny small eyes looked up at Mary and Joseph, her family and his family that was maybe around them. They looked down in your eyes and saw your hair. Little did they know, those eyes had looked through the universe. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for coming to the earth, because we can dedicate this little boy today with a new hope and a purpose in mind, knowing that you come that we could be set free. Lord God, my brother and sister, bring your little son into your presence. Father, they want your help and your guidance to be able to raise him in the right way. They need you, Lord. We pray that you'd just keep him, if time should tarry, that he'd be old enough to be able to make his choice of right and wrong. May he make it when he's young, Lord. I pray you'd keep him from the evils of the day and the diseases that are so rampant. Father, I pray that you'd help my sister being the fifth gospel, may she be able to imprint upon his heart only what a mother can do. And my brother as a father may be the right kind of image, the right kind of man before him. We dedicate his little life to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let's stand together. Trust everybody's happy today in the Lord. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and also Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. While you're turning there to read, I want to comment again about the Christmas program we had here last Sunday. I just thought it was outstanding. I certainly appreciate all the effort that was put forth. From my own opinion, which ain't much, but it's just an opinion, but I think it's the best one we've ever had. I really enjoyed all the singing. I came all the practice and things that was put forth into it. Thank you all for your effort for the glory of the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Of course, we've already looked at this, and you know that this is Rhema word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Again, Rhema. And let me read to you the quote that we opened with last night in Satan's Eden. I wanted to speak to you something that would bring something to enlighten you to the promise of God for this age. See, something, not something that somebody else was in some other day. And something, them things are all right. And we all refer to those things. But I thought I would try to bring something to your mind with these scriptures I've got written here that would enlighten you to know, make you a better soldier in the field that you're fighting in now. To learn the tactics of the enemy so that you can block everything before it gets to you. That's the main thing, is to learn to keep the punches off of you as much as you can. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. We appreciate your grace and mercy to us. Now as we approach your great sovereign mercy and word that's been given to us again, Lord, we've read your Logos, which we are so thankful for. We pray that you would speak to us today. Give us those things which are needful and necessary for our journey, that we can be able to fight a better fight in this day that we live. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Last night, for those of you that wasn't here, we were looking at a Rhema life in the galleries of God. Truly, we believe that God wants us as his people to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. And we talk about that so much. And we know that being worthy is not just so much an outward holiness as it is an inward acceptance of what God has provided for us, which is his grace. And for that, we're thankful. But we also want to live a life that is a victorious life. To me, it's such a reproach upon Christianity when people live a life that is so in and out, wishy-washy, up, down. You can't really depend on them. They're of no benefit to the local body whatsoever, no benefit to the economy of God. I want to be a benefit myself, and I'm sure that most of you feel that same way today. And we were looking last night again at the diversities of deliverance and how that God delivers his people. Sometimes God supernaturally comes on the scene in the lives of individual. You and I have to do very, very little except being at the right place at the right time. Other times God will deliver us and God will move for us, but he delivers us by means which are in our own hands. He anoints us and helps us as he did with David. David and the sling and other instances as we referred to. And we'd like to look at that a little bit further today and hopefully by the help of the Lord lead us into the ability and the power to be able to overcome. Because in overcoming is where our victory is really made known. We as the people of God living lives that are pleasing to the Lord. And we know that whenever we look at the power to overcome, we don't have it within ourselves. Our mind is a powerful thing. Man by his thoughts has been able to invent tremendous things. But man has never yet to this day and never will be able to invent a machine or an apparatus that will deliver himself from sin or death. He just can't do it. No matter all of his scientific research, he'll never be able to find a pill, a potion, an herb, some type of magic incantation that'll ever be able to restore him back to eternal life. It's totally impossible. So we must look beyond our own selves then. We must look beyond science to be able to find that. And we know, of course, where it's at. It's in God and his word. Let's read, if you would, in Daniel chapter 3 today, verse 15. Once you notice, now we're going to use a couple of instances of deliverance. And this was divine intervention by the power of God that required very little of the recipients of that deliverance power. Yet, in other examples, God demands of us when he comes and delivers, and we labor and we fight and we struggle, yet it's still attributed to the deliverance of God. Now, this, of course, is a familiar setting to you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if you be ready at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music. You fall down and worship the image which I have made, but if you will worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, what you notice, they are not serving God on the basis that God is going to deliver them. If God delivers them, wonderful. If God doesn't deliver them, they're still going to serve him. Folks who serve God because they think they're going in the rapture, they're not serving God for the right reason. Folks that are serving God because he always meets all their needs and gives them all kinds of money, they're not serving God for the right reason. The elect of God serve God because he loves them and they love him. They're not serving him because as soon as they pray, he answers. As soon as they get into trouble, he delivers. That's not the reason we serve him. Now, what you notice now, how that Daniel, and whenever the Spirit of God moved upon Daniel to write this down, that the Daniel was actually the image that the king had erected. Now listen, this is the way the Gentile kingdom is brought in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were forced, or supposedly going to be forced upon them, to worship the image of their prophet. As true believers, they refuse to bow to the image of their prophet. Praise the Lord. May I say the same thing today? I will acknowledge Brother Branham as God's prophet. We'll acknowledge him as being the fulfillment of Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. Many more great things in this hour. But I refuse to bow my knee to any man. Praise the Lord. And it should be so with you, whether it's a prophet or a pastor or any other man, our worship should go to the Lord Jesus only. That's right. And because of this, now they are given this ultimatum. Now in this, it's totally different than from a long-standing trial or test or something that you and I would go through as a believer. This only, my goodness, it couldn't have been over just a few minutes long to whenever they went into this fire and God brought them out. Unlike things that you and I would face when it might be weeks long or months long, or some things can be even years. They
that you're dealing with a besetting sin or a weakness that is in a life that you inherited because of a strength. So this type of deliverance comes very rapid, very quick, very miraculous. It's wonderful. We enjoy seeing it. But yet these kinds of deliverances do not build patience and faith in the recipient of the believer who receives it. Many times it happens so fast and so instantaneous that it's over before you even recognize what's even took place. Oh my, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our trials happen like that? The devil lays this great old big long trial and test out for you, and about 5 minutes you're in it, pew, it's gone. You say, man, that was easy. Boy, come on, devil, bring another one. I enjoyed that. And then another, boy, he works 6 months and lays out a trial for you, and God lets this one go 10 minutes, and man, that's it. You'd be more lazy and more sorry. Well, glory. Let's have church today. What do you say? Now, notice, they say in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, you know the story, and we'll cut it short, but let's read verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, oh my goodness, I love it when God makes the devil give a testimony meeting. Now, this is the same man that said, now, what God can deliver you out of my hands? Now, God said, I tell you what I want you to do, Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to get up and testify about me. I want you to tell how big I am and tell how great I am. Notice who's doing the talking, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Donnie and Terry and Tim and Keith and Wes. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Wow, what a thing for the king to say himself. I made this decree and God come and, well, it just made me look like a liar, just to be honest with you, and God changed my word. Well, go ahead and testify, Nebuchadnezzar. Tell us how big he is. Tell us how great he is. Oh my goodness, I imagine, friends, if you and I could realize in our lives over and over again, God has made demons wind up going down in hell and testify to the devil. I don't know what in the world happened, but all of a sudden, the power of God struck that individual and it forced me right out of their body. I was depressing them. I was making them sick. I was afflicting them, and the Spirit of God come and just made me leave, devil. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice this. Oh, I love this. That have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. I'm not worshiping the God of Hollywood. I honestly don't care what the stars say. I don't care what they say about this or that or the other. I am not concerned about the left, nor the right, nor the middle, nor the down, nor the up. I'm concerned about what God says. I worship my God, and him only will I serve. Anybody with me this morning? Now, notice in verse 29, he says, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Praise the Lord. My, what a powerful deliverance. Oh, but you see, all deliverances aren't quite so great. As a matter of fact, one of the meanings of the word deliverance is actually through the door of death. We look at people who have extended long diseases and we say, well, cancer finally won out, or this won out, or that won out. Oh no, not if it's a child of God, it never. You see, for some, the ultimate deliverance that God will give to many of his children is that they will not leave this life disease free, but actually that last final deliverance will be through the door of death. I wish all of us children of God could just simply lay down one night and just close our eyes and say goodnight to our wife, our husband, and be able to wake up on the other side in that great glorified body. But the truth of it is, that's not going to happen to many of God's children. It's like Satan has one final blow by which he's able to strike the people of God, and that is death, or sickness and disease that leads up to that death. And the saints said, right. Now, watch this. As we go on, watch now. We move over to Daniel, the prophet himself. This is, again, a very familiar story. And Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now, the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, what was it about this man that made this heathen king testify of this man's God? Notice he does not say, now my God and your God. He separates his ownership away from his own gods because he was a polytheistic worshiper worshiping other gods. But this man said, I know your God. I've seen him move in your life, and I know somehow he's going to deliver you, Daniel. Oh, may the people we work with say the same thing about us. Notice now in verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now remember this according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be altered. And verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest. Notice now Daniel's testimony is coming out of this man's life. Thy God whom thou servest continually. Thy God whom thou servest continually. Oh, friend, what a testimony to have said about us. That we don't just serve him when things is going good. We serve him all the time. Have thou whom thou servest continually, was he able to deliver thee from the lions? Amen. You know Daniel's answer. O king, live forever. My God, whom I serve, has delivered me. Now watch in verse 26. The king here now says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in the earth. Come on, King, preach it. Come on, King, preach it. Tell me how big he is. Tell me how wonderful he is. I love it when God makes his enemies testify of his power. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. But it wasn't prolonged. It wasn't weeks. It wasn't months. It wasn't years. So this is not in the sense of letting patience have her perfect work. It come, it manifested, it left. That's deliverance, that's wonderful. But that's not always the way we get our things from God. Isn't this amazing? God could deliver Daniel from the lion's den and allowed many, many Christians to be thrown into the Colosseum at Rome and their bodies be torn to pieces. Praise the Lord. Now, why didn't God do that? Different rhema. Could not God have dropped this word or this example into the hearts of the believers in the Colosseum at Rome, a rhema word from God, and drop it there, and the mouths of the lions would have been stopped. But that was not his will for them. You see, this is what we have to be careful when we're using logos and when we're repeating history over and over again. Well, God delivered Daniel and God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I'm going to quote that example of logos, and the same thing will happen to me. Maybe and maybe not. A rhema word from God will place you there. Be patient, child. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That may not be the words you want to hear, but it's the words that you need to hear. Can I go on? Now watch, as we come to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, the Lord Jesus giving us this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now this is a model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, but actually it's a model prayer for us as believers that we are to pray in this way. Deliver us from evil on the basis of, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So here this is a prayer that as the children of God, this is your right to pray this way. Lord, deliver me from the evil of this day. Deliver me from the coldness of Laodicea. Deliver me from the sickness of the things that's around me. Notice in Galatians chapter 1 verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. How many has been delivered from this present evil world? Already in your soul. It's already done. But you're still fighting things day to day. Now watch how deliverance can come. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Already done. If you got the Holy Ghost today, you've been delivered in your soul. And you may be sitting here feeling like God's a million miles away from you. But you're delivered and free in your soul and your mind. You got all kinds of torment in your body. You got all kinds of pain. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You imagine, I'm already delivered from a future event which hasn't even happened yet. Has already delivered us. We're not going in the tribulation. We're not going into judgment. We're already delivered. And what did I do? Nothing. I accepted it. Now come on, you're like me. You love that kind of deliverance. We just sit back and relax and let God do it all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and may be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Delivered. Now here Paul is actually seeking the prayers of the saints that God would move on his behalf and deliver him. Because remember, he was thrown in and out of jail. He was beat. He was hated and despised. God had delivered him from the power of sin. The nature of sin had been broken on his soul. But almost daily, he's dealing with enemies of the cross, whether Jews or Gentiles or people who said they believed what he preached. And he's dealing with what? Unreasonable and wicked men. Let me tell you something, friend. Them men are dead, but the same spirit that anointed them is still alive today. We're dealing with wicked and unreasonable people in the age that we live in. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Now, I want you to notice that Peter does not pray that God will keep the godly from temptation, but deliver them out of it. Knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, which means seized upon or assailed upon you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, I'd not stop our turn preach about an hour. God is faithful. always been faithful. You haven't always been faithful. Moses wasn't always faithful. Jeremiah wasn't always faithful. But God is faithful. Amen. Let me give you a few scriptures here. When the devil comes against you on this thought right here, to be able to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations, which is 4,000 years. No chance of you outliving that, friend. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Amen. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. My, my. No wonder Brother Branham could say your glorified condition, your glorified body is right here already in this building this morning, wanting to send a charge to you like a battery. Why? Because he who has said it will do it. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. There ain't one of you sitting here today that's been saved very long that you've been as weak as a cat. You've cried and belly aches and carried on and act like I don't know what. You've doubted. You've misbelieved. You feared. You've trembled. And God's still the same. He's faithful. He's faithful when you're up. He's faithful when you're down. He's faithful when you're in. He's faithful when you're out. He's faithful when you're sick. He's faithful when you're well. He is faithful. He's faithful when we understand. He's faithful when we don't understand. He is faithful. Listen, this is the key. I love this verse. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Do you understand why he's faithful to you? He cannot deny himself. Himself in you. That seed in you is himself. He cannot deny himself. I know this is very simple, but let me say it to you and stress it. He understands how humanity is. He knows we're weak. He knows we're humans. Without a doubt, he understands. Aren't you glad he does? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now watch Paul whenever he's dealing with this in 1 Corinthians. He said, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Why insert that into temptations? This is going to be the thing that's going to solidify your faith. When you're going through such difficult times, God is faithful. And everything that you're going through, somebody has already been through it or something similar to it. But something the devil, I've noticed it over and over again, that the devil wants to do to us is make us think our case is so special and nobody in the world has ever been through what you're going through. That's a lie. That's contrary to scripture. The truth of it is, folks have been through what you've been through and worse. And by God's grace, they've overcome it. And you can too if you want to. But on what basis? God is faithful. How can I do it? God is faithful. How can I know that? Ask Shadrach. Ask Meshach. Ask Daniel. God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. I love this word, able. It's a strange word. The English word here that was chosen by the translators to use. It's a word which in weakness reflects great power, if that makes sense to you. Because the root Greek word here is the same word that we use for dunamis, which is power. Except here it's dunami. To be able to have power, whether by virtue of one's own ability and resources. So God will never allow you to be tempted above the power or the allocation of power that He's given in your life. You say, I'm at my wits and I can't go any farther. Don't you never let those things come out of your mouth. That you accuse God of bringing you beyond your allocation of power. Remember, in your thinking you may be, but not according to divine measure. According to divine measure, you will never, Brother Jim, you will never, Brother Dow, allow to be brought above the power invested in you as a child of God. Do you understand? Satan is trying to get you to question God's word. If he can make you look at your human weaknesses and your failures and say, what I want beyond my ability, I'm not able to do this, I'm not able, you're quoting a lie. According to God's word, he will never let you go through something that you're not endued with power to help you deal with it. Oh my, some of you didn't like that very well, did you? Well, I think what I'll do is say it again. God will never allow you to go through anything that you're not able to overcome by His grace. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation. Look at the word temptation. An experiment. Y'all didn't know you was in a laboratory, did you? So this is an experiment. So you take this and mix him with that and shake it all up and say, oh my goodness. So God is allowing the devil to experiment with your life. And the devil's got a thesis or a theology that if he can do this and that and the other to you, that he'll destroy you and you'll turn away from God. And he said, just let me try my experiment. Let me just try it. I'm telling you, I know I can do it. He needed permission from God to try the experiment by the name of Job. So he put a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and shook it all up together. And what did he produce? A man here said, the Lord took and the Lord took, the Lord give and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the man come through great terrible times. What was it? An experiment. It ain't God. You see, God ain't like the devil. The devil don't know the end from the beginning. If you ain't, God knows you is. God knows his. Amen. The devil don't know. So what's he do? Experiment on your life. An experiment, an attempt, a trial, a proving. The trial of man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, and constancy. Also an enticement to sin, temptation, whether rising from the desires or from the outside circumstances, an internal temptation to sin. And the saint said, amen. But with the temptation will make a way to escape. Oh, glory. But notice this escape route. That you may be able to bear it. That don't sound like escape to me. I mean, if the building's on fire, and this is an exit. This is an exit. There's one reason why we can only have so many people up on this platform. Full-time musicians and so on. Because the state considers my door, my office door, the only exit door. In case of emergency. Because this is not the same level as that. So we have to have a way of escape. Now in our minds we're thinking, well, if the building is on fire, there's some type of horrific thing going on in this building, then for me to escape, this is my way of escape, or this door here is my way of escape, and that means I'll go to that door and I'll run out. But in the case of test, the way of escape isn't always that you're out of it. It's the strength to bear it. Now, this is what I love about the Lord and His Word. This separates bride from foolish virgin. This separates elect from non-elect, because God actually puts a door in front of you when you're going through great trials and lets you stand right by it with your hand on the latch. I'm this close. What should I do? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this test. But I think I'll hang on another day.
Oh, yeah.
You see, for nominal people, their way of escape is a solid 12-inch wall. For the bride, it's double doors out. Jesus offered them to the disciples. You want to leave? Peter said, to whom can we go? You have the rhemas of life. You have the words of life, Lord Jesus. You say so what I'm talking about. How many times have you stood at a door and God Himself offered you a way out, as it were? That would be permissive will. Perfect will would be enduring the trial. And as a child of God, you stood right there and just taunted the devil. Look at this devil. Flick the door handle. What do you think about this, huh? What do you think about this, devil? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I could leave if I wanted to. I could go out if I wanted to, as far as the flesh, but I don't want to. I want to stay with His will. I want to stay with His word. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able or empowered, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Actually, the Greek word here, in the word that Paul used, was not an immediate escape, but one in due time. So He places the door right before you, and your old flesh thinks, I'm out of here. First chance I get, I'm out of Dodge. In Johnson City too. Man alive, since I come to this church, I ain't had nothing but hell. All kinds of stuff's broke loose against me. It's a good sign. This is where you're supposed to be. Man alive, I had it so much easier than I went to the Baptist church. Look at where you're going to. Sets you where you need to be and allows all hell to go around you, and then God puts one door and another door and another door and another door all around you. Seem like there's doors of escape, and you just stand there and say, nah, 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 nah. No way, devil, you're not running me out of the will of God. I'm staying where God wants me. It's one thing about it till the bride has class. She knows how to use doors. So when the trial is passed, we get through it. After you, brother. See y'all. I'm leaving this place after a while, but I'm leaving in style. Style the bride's going to leave him. We're not leaving in a Hollywood gown or some type of limousine. We're going to leave with a new body. We're going to escape out of Laodicea after we have overcome it. Oh, hallelujah. to watch the providence of God, how he deals with his people. But with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. To bear by being under. Bear up a thing that's placed on one's shoulders to bear patiently. No, this is not allowing you to be a grizzly in the morning. This is not allowing you to be a black bear or a brown bear in the time of test. Wrong bear. That we bear it patiently. And this is his way of escape. You see, friend, there's not another people like her in all the earth. Nominal Christians look for the easy way out. If a trial can be terminated, the will of God is 2 weeks and the permissive will of God is 3 hours. Most of them will take 3 hours any day of the week. But a real child of God looks at, Lord, if you know at the end of that trial there's something about it, it'll make me a better man. Give me grace and patience. I choose the 2 weeks. I choose the 2 weeks. So because I really believe that's what you want for me, and I want what you want. So give me grace to bear it, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions. Wow. So, I mean, you go from charity and faith and all these other things, and then you add persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which is what we've been looking at in the book of Acts. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. But we know from looking at many of these trials in the book of Acts, it was not a deliverance from, but a deliverance after he came out. You see, what does this do? This affects our attitude toward God. When we look at it, to whether it's 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 years, he still delivered me. He brought me out. Yes. Instead of finally getting through it with an attitude, I'm so glad that's done. I'll tell you one thing, God, if you ever take me through something like that again, I don't know. Oh, Lord, you just signed up for another term. Go back to the beginning of the line. I'm glad I got through that. I hope that never happens again. Round two. Back to Iraq. But if you can look at it, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 years, and you come out on the other side and say, praise God, the Lord delivered me. The Lord brought me out. I went through chemo. I went through this treatment and that treatment. But the Lord, by his mercy, brought me out. Many times we think of deliverance as being whew. Sometimes it is, but many times it isn't. Notice this, he said, persecution, affliction, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, let's change this a little bit here. To me, one of the sad parts about deliverance, if you can understand what I'm saying, is that many people get delivered from many things in their lives, but they never go on to be overcomers. Because you are or have been delivered of things does not necessarily mean that you will go on and continue to be an overcomer. Since the deliverance so much of the time is a manifestation of the power of God, miraculous power of God, which is beyond your own ability. Watch this in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again. Look at the word entangled. To have within, to be held, to held ensnared, set oneself against, hold a grudge against someone. Be not entangled again. Now notice he's directing to a people which had been delivered or had been freed by the power of God, but now they're getting ensnared again. So they were free, and now they're bound again. So they were delivered, but never went on to become overcomers. The children of Israel were delivered from the hand of the Egyptians, but very few of them ever went on to be overcomers. Joshua, Caleb, you know, different ones like that. But most of them could say, glory to God, God delivered me, God moved for me, hallelujah, hallelujah. But they never went on to develop an overcoming life. My, I kind of thought y'all would calm down now and quit shouting on me. Notice again in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice how that they escaped. Simply through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the impartation of His divine life. So they hear about Him being a Savior, they hear about Him being a Redeemer, and this knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and they accept deliverance. They are again entangled therein and overcome. Now, delivered, then entangled, and instead of being an overcomer, they actually become overcome. Though they could stand and say in one time, praise God, God set me free from cigarettes. God delivered me of alcohol. God delivered me of this and that and the other. Did it happen? Yes, for many of them, it truly did. And they think their whole life is going to be based on one supernatural deliverance after another. Well, I think I should move back to the door, but I think because y'all enjoyed that better. My. After escaping the pollutions of the world, they become entangled therein, Peter says, and overcome. And the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So a person may be set free from heinous sin, scandalous thing, terrible, terrible things, and the power of God deliver them. But they never go on to be an overcomer because they're just living on Logos quotes. Oh, Jesus walked on the water, and Jesus raised the dead, and Jesus done this. This is why we need the message of the hour. Listen to me carefully. The message of the hour is not dead, it's alive. For a believer that has a real ear to the Spirit of God, you can play a 1955 tape, and the Spirit of God can take a quote off and make that rhema to your life for that day. You've had it happen to you, so have I. Had an affliction in my body several years ago. And I heard the prophet of God on a discernment line call somebody out who had exactly what I was dealing with at the same time. When he called them out, a strange feeling come over my body. I laid my hand over on the tape player and claimed my healing. It left me right then. Amen. Why? It was a rhema word from God to me. Many of you have had similar, have you not? Now, what's this? He says, after they have escaped, friends, how sad this is to me. That people would actually be liberated. And they would have escaped the corruption that's in the world. And then Peter says they are again entangled therein and overcome, which means to be inferior. To be conquered by one. Forced to yield. To hold a thing inferior. Set below. Let me ask you, saints, that come here to Happy Valley. Do many of you have the liberty in Christ Jesus you had a few years ago? Are you free? Or is movies and internet and all kinds of things so corrupted your mind and your thoughts? Praise the Lord. Has the things of the world that years ago we let go of come right back in another form or fashion? And you don't love Jesus as much as you used to, which is a lot of the people's problems anyway. It's their love life. They don't love God like they ought to. They love the world. They love business. They love money. They love this, that, and the other. And what happens? They become entangled again. Church, truly to a born-again child of God, is not secondary or third. It is primary. But all it takes passes a little bit of time and they begin to reverse it. Then business and this and this and this and this becomes primary, and then church becomes second, and then third, and then fourth, and on down and on down. And then, you know, you're a casual church goer. It doesn't really matter whether you go or not. Doesn't really make that much difference. I can stream online. I can be able to pick up the service. But does it? Is it not arranging of the priorities of your life to where the Satan is actually entangling you again? That this is more important, and that is more important, and that is more important. Many of y'all get a headache and can't come to church on Saturday night or Sunday morning. But a miracle takes place on Sunday afternoon. And you get to feeling so much better. And you go out to Chili's and you go to Walmart and brave all the Christmas shopping going on. But by Monday, you're as fine as frog hair. Boy, by Monday, why, you can't stand to miss work. Yeah, you'll miss church over the least little thing. You know what? Your priorities ain't right. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I can stream. I'll tell you what, why don't you try that on your job? Call him tomorrow and tell your boss, I'm going to stream work. Hallelujah. That's a good one, Lord. Thank you. I'm on a stream school. I'm on a stream work. Right. If some of y'all missed your college classes the way you missed church, you think you'd pass? What makes you think you're going to pass with God? Oh, sweet Jesus. You're going to keep on. You're going to get me fired. The word entangled signifies taken in a toil. Or a snare. Notice Peter in verse 21 says, it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness. After they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment. Do you understand? Many of the people that have embraced this message, they'd have been better off if they'd stayed a lost drunk all of their life. They've been better off to stay a Baptist or a Unitarian or a Catholic or a Methodist or whatever more than to have come to this truth and sit under the auspices of the Word of God and then turn and walk and go back to where they come from. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. Why? You cannot embrace truth and ever be the same again. It will change you to be a better person, or it will condemn you at the day of judgment. Why? They're delivered. But they never become overcomers. Can I go on? Look in verse 22. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed. I've told you before, and it's worth repeating again. I've washed many an old pot-bellied pig. Ain't we, Brother Terry? We've washed a man alive. We've thrown him in the bathwater. Malachi 4, I've sudsed them down. Washed them from their snout to their pout. And just go every way from down to the end of their tail. And come down to their toenails. And of course I don't put pink toenail polish on them. But I make sure they're real good and clean. And wash every hair. And get done with that old sow. And she may sit there in church for 6 months or 6 years or 16 years. And all of a sudden she sticks that old nose up. Ended up preachers in the message to stop her. Once a hog, always a hog. Once a dog, always a dog. Once a bride seed, always a bride seed. Hallelujah to God. My brother, sister, this don't apply to the bride, because the bride ain't a dog and the bride ain't a hog. Were they delivered? They were. Washed. Sanctified. Cleansed. Talked the talk. Walked the walk. Had the look. And even used the church cookbook. Jude chapter 1 verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt. This word sozo, Brother Bram used it a lot, the Greek word, sozo, make whole, to rescue from danger or destruction, to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment. So the Lord saved them, delivered them, and then later destroyed every one of them. Delivered, but not overcomers. You understand? Lord Jesus, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed. Apollonia. This is the same group, Greek root word that is used in the book of Revelation about the Apollyon, the one in the bottomless pit. Actually, bottomless is the reflection of his name. Apollyon, a great king over them, Apollyon and Abaddon. And this is the same description describing those who turn away from the truth. They become in the nature of the abyss or Apollyon. Then they take on a destructive nature. That's why some of the folks who've left this message, left this church and other churches, they become into destructive nature. They want to destroy our church. They'd like to destroy the prophet. They'd like to destroy the message. They'd like to destroy it. On why? They are reflecting their destiny. If many of them had one third of the desire they had when they're in the message for the message itself, it's what they've got since they left the message. What could they have done? Look at the meaning of the word to destroy, to put out of the way entirely, abolish, put an end to, ruin, render useless. I don't want just deliverance. I want to be an overcomer. How will I do it? With the word in my life. Logos and Rhema. Brother Donnie, how do we know how to fight? This is general orders. Use the Logos. Caroline's one last night going home. She said the quotes that Brother Rhema said about the word will defeat the devil anywhere, any place, any time. Is that Logos or Rhema? So I believe it'd be Logos. Because Rhema's will be divinely given. We don't control them. So we are instructed, we are taught. We're in boot camp to learn how to use Logos. We use it every day of our life. And when we need Ramos, he gives it. Don't think in your mind this makes Logos powerless. No, sir. It will defeat the devil. And if it won't, God will give you a Rhema word that will. So if the devil bothers you, then what? Feed on the word. Feed on the word. Hit him. My, my. Amen. Carpet bomb the devil with Logos bombs. Listen to this in Marriage of the Lamb. I love this statement. Brother Bram says, if you notice, it said she made herself ready. He's quoting, of course, from Revelation 19. So many says, if the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, from drinking or from gambling or from lying or stealing, I'll serve him. But that's up to you. You got something to do too, you know. Oh my. Well, I got a few more amens than what I thought I would. They that overcome shall inherit over all things. They that overcome. You have power to do it. But you must be willing to lay it down. Friends, this is where Satan convinces us many times. You can't do it. You can't do it. You don't have the power. You don't have the power. He's talking you right out of what God's given many of you. So he'll tell you, you can't do it. Then you come up here for me to pray for you 4,597 times for the very same thing when you yourself ought to be overcoming it. And instead of expecting the men of God to pray some kind of power down on you and it's going to zap you in the head and knock your toenails off, you're going to have to overcome many of these things that you're getting prayed for. People come I want to be closer to God. I want to be closer to God. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for this. Pray for that. I'm going to pray for you till I fall over and turn blue in the face. I'll do that all my entire life as long as I can. But there's some things you're asking me to pray for, it'll never be granted by prayer. You want to be closer to God? The prophet tells us how to do it. Read your Bible and pray. Yes. You don't need prayer for that. You need to obey what he said. Yes. Brother Donnie, I'm selfish. I don't know what to do. The prophet of God told us how to deal with selfishness. Give away things. My, my. I mean, you're thinking something like drinking and gambling. Brother Bam said, you got something you to do. That they that overcomes shall inherit all things. You have power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. She has made herself ready. I like that word. Don't you like that? You see, God could not push us through a little pipe. Now, Gatorade bottle, you're going to be my little pipe. Now, God cannot drill a hole in the end of this Gatorade bottle and start me through in this end. And then take the lid off, reach his hand through on the other side, grab a hold of me by my nose or my hands or whatever, and yank me out on the other side. And then me stand before him and said, Tony, you are so blessed. You overcome. Only thing I dealt with was skin burn being slid through that bottle. I never overcome nothing. Let me close with this example I used last night. This is your fuel tank. Half empty, half full. Depends on if you're a pessimist or an optimist. God helps you through your trials, through your difficulties. And it's like the hand barely moves over past half. And then you move into the category of not God delivering you supernaturally, but you actually overcoming. What that means is that God will back off sometimes. Sometimes it's our feelings, our emotions, or whatever more. And God will back off and force you and I to exert a little bit more energy than what we want to do. A little bit more faith, a little bit more perseverance. Why, Brother Donnie? So when we stand before him that day at the rewards, because the bride ain't going to be judged, he will be able to honestly look at you and say, come into the kingdom. You overcome. You are heir of all things. But if it stays right here, your entire walk with God, first of all, you miss the rapture. Only overcomers go in the rapture. You have no reward at the end of the way. Blessed is he that overcome. He shall get this. Every church age hears exactly the same message in the introduction. Blessed are they that overcome. Blessed is he that overcome. The reward altered and was different from age to age. But the thing was promised. Not blessed to him that is deep. Not blessed to him that shouts. Not blessed to him that runs around the building. But there's one common thread that runs through the entirety of the church ages. Overcome. Oh my. Blessed is he that overcometh. You had nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. But you've got to make decisions for yourself. I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and respects to God. I love to pray about decisions, don't you? I do. Man alive, I pray about decisions I make in my life. But I'm old enough in the Lord to know sometimes he ain't going to tell me which way to go. He's going to stand back and let me observe the situation and look at the situation by the word and make a decision based upon the word. And that way he can be proud of me as his boy. Because I made the decision based upon the circumstances the best that I knew. Come on, children. And what have I done? I have acted like a son of God. A mature son of God. Let's stand together. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 as you're standing. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcame the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I love the meaning of this word, and it's some of the same words all the way through the New Testament. Conquer, prevail, get the victory, to carry off the victory. Come off victorious, of Christ, victorious over all foes, of Christians that hold fast their faith, even unto death, against the power of their foes. Temptations and persecutions, when one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case or maintains one's cause. Amen. Oh my, let that be said about me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. There's men in this message that are so deep and so profound. And oh my, they can just hold you spellbound. But is there any reward for that? Is that ever mentioned in the scripture? Because you were so tremendous. People, all people, just they were held in awe. Isn't that amazing that the word doesn't even mention an overcomer being rewarded for such? Because a lot of them can do that, have not learned to overcome their flesh. Because they build a cult personality around themselves in the message. Look at every move around this message, and it'll all go back to one man somewhere. Come on, children. And the man himself may not propagate himself, but he don't silence those who do. So he becomes a silent partner to the cult personality. I heard a professional say just this week, that's one reason our current president's popularity has remained as high as what it is. Through all the difficulty and all the things that we've been through as a nation. And this was a professional, now not a preacher. They're saying because it is a cult personality that has formed around our president. And this is a person who was for him, not against him. And they said that's why if he went on for years and years and years, that his popularity would never go below a certain level because it has formed a cult personality. It's that way with preachers. It's that way with singers. Singers form a cult personality around them and their gift, which of course places them above ministry. That's why they don't think they have to answer to nobody. Every one of us answer to God. Amen. And God's protocol. Whether you're a singer, a preacher, an organ player, a piano player, whoever we are, we all answer to God and the protocol of His Word. Amen. So are they overcomers? No. Many folks have a great draw around the message of personality call, but they're not overcomers. You can be so deep, oh, but Donnie, I could straighten you out. Maybe you can, but apparently you ain't learned to straighten yourself out. So that tells me you haven't learned to overcome yourself yet. Praise the Lord. Some of the ones who used to come to our church faithfully, now they're following other men, you know, internet preachers and this and that and the other. But what I found amazing is some of those who do that, now they're deeper and they know more, and now they treat me like I'm an idiot. Or they look at you all like you're so blind and so deceived and so stupid. Because you're not following their cult preacher. They're not overcomers. If they were overcomers, if they had more than what we had, they would feel compassion for us and pray for us instead of sticking their chest out, bless God, I'm deeper than Brother Donnie. As one of them said not long ago, poor Brother Donnie don't even know what the message is even all about. Well, you're right. If it's following some preacher from the West Indies, or following some preacher from Germany, or following some preacher from Louisiana, you're right. I don't know what it's all about. Because to me, that ain't what the message is all about. It ain't following a preacher from Trinidad, or a preacher from Louisiana, or a preacher from Johnson City. It's following Christ, the Word. Example to overcome our vanity and our pride and our arrogance. Oh my. How many overcomers we got in the building today? Or you say, Brother Donnie, if I could overcome tobacco, if I could overcome pornography, friends, you're looking at the wrong thing. It's not overcoming that. It's learning to overcome you. Then no matter what Satan does, don't you understand? If you get victory over pornography, he'll only change your battle to something else. Because he knows your focus is overcoming things instead of you. If you ever learn how to overcome you, Satan can change it 1,000 times in a week. And you're still an overcomer. Because you've learned to overcome yourself. So whether it's women, whether it's money, whether it's lying, whether it's gossip, that does not matter. It's not what to overcome, it's how. How? Last night we backed out of the galleries very carefully. Now, today we're going to close and we're going to peer back into them again. I hope today, by God's grace, you were able to see yourself on the walls of succession of your growth and your walk with God. Amen. Just because you grow up from down here to here doesn't mean that you're mistake-free and fault-free. Amen. Let me go ahead and say that there ain't a person in this message is fault-free. Amen. There ain't a person in this church is fault-free. Amen. Nowhere. There is no fault-free churches. Fault-free people. So even when you grow from here up to here, you've still got faults and mistakes and failures. But what's amazing is you can be a total overcomer and still have faults. It's a mystery that you can overcome. Why? You refuse to succumb to your faults. And you have tendencies to lean this way or that way or the other. We all do. The human part. But we overcome. By the grace of God. Amen. And refuse to allow our temperament to control us. Amen. That's good for your life, sir. Blessed are they that overcome. Amen. Now don't raise your hand. Many of you have overcome smoking, have overcome drinking, have overcome many of those things. Can you overcome your tongue? Can you overcome your temper? Can you overcome people talking about you? And, oh, that'll always hurt us as humans because we love being around people, of course. But can we refuse to let that control us? Can we control? And if God has given us abundant revelation above our brothers, can we control and keep back arrogance and pride? Men around this message who claim to have such great revelation and no thorns accompany their revelations, I question whether from God or not. Because when Paul preached it to us, we get to it, Lord willing, next weekend. Paul had great abundant revelation, greater than any man in the New Testament. But with his revelations come thorns. It's not a welcome partner, but it happens to go with it. Why? You need a thorn in the flesh. So in the abundance of the revelation that was given unto me, there was given unto me also a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, which should buffet me, lest at any measure I should be exalted above the measure that's given to me. You imagine now. So God gives a dynamic, tremendous revelation, and God allows a thorn to come. Anybody ever get gouged by thorns? Now, I'm a woodworker, as you know, and I've got all kinds of splinters. Well, several years ago, me and Brother Darrell and some of the brothers from here at the church was meeting Brother Jewel, and we went over to one of the places over in Johnson City to eat, and we was going in the door. They had a wood door. Brother Darrell put his hand on the door, and right when he put his hand on the door, slid up to there. I mean, a splinter that long. Went right up into his hand. Oh, my goodness. Took his breath. The manager come, bleeding everywhere, all that sort of thing. Oh, my. You know, but that's a splinter. Now, a thorn is something that gets in there, and it gouges and gouges. Why does a real revelated person need thorns? Because he began to look around at himself and saying, you know what, there ain't nobody in the message preaching this but me. We're deeper than everybody. Our organ player is the greatest in the message. Rah, 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 rah. I get sick of that stuff. So God gives us thorns. I was running a screw and a board this week and holding the screw, 2.5 screw, and I held the screw up just a little bit and I eased it in with my little power driver. And when I did, I didn't know that there was a shaving on that little screw where they had milled it. And when I run that screw through that way, that shaving went off and buried itself in that thar finger.
Amen.
It hurt so bad I could have cried if it helped. Can you imagine God giving you something similar to that? I've dug at it and dug at it, and I got Carol's magnifying glass and put on bifocals and everything in the world, gotten bright lights trying to dig the thing out. And Paul said, I sought the Lord, and I sought the Lord. But he told me, Paul, Leave it in there. My grace is sufficient. God didn't deliver him, but Paul's going to overcome it. So it'll hit him, and then it'll back off. And it'll hit him, and he'll back off. Don't you love him, church? I'm glad we've been delivered, but I want us to be overcomers. Many of you have got tremendous testimonies of what God's done for you and delivered you from. But would he deliver you to leave you a weakling, a powerless son or daughter of God that cannot overcome sin? I do not believe that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray today, Lord, that you'd take my scattered thoughts and words. May you make them real to your children, Lord. If this was such an important statement that the prophet, and to me one of the greatest sermons in 1965, Satan's Eden, that he'd say the main thing is to learn to keep the punches off of you as much as you can. Now, Brother Bram could have said the seven thunders. He could have spoke on the theophanies. He could have spoke on so many different things. But he didn't say the main thing was understanding the theophany. Or the main thing was understanding the seven thunders and this and that and the other. But he said the main thing is learn to keep the punches off of you. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I know many times I've allowed punches to come to me. That was my own fault. I ask you to forgive me. I pray not only for myself, I pray for the sheep here today, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. Overcomers, Lord. Overcomers in this life. Victorious people. This does not mean that everything we go through that you automatically deliver us, as a lion's did experience or a furnace of fire experience. But you go through us day by day. At the end, you deliver us. But some people will be after their second treatment of chemo or their third round of chemo. For some people, their deliverance will actually be death in this body, birth in the other. Yet you look at that not as defeat, but as deliverance. We don't know exactly what our end will be, but we're so glad we know who controls it. And that's you, Lord. Help us today, I pray, Father. As we leave this building today, may we think on these thoughts. Lord, we know the world all around us is so wrapped up in Christmas and lights and icicles and this and that and the other and presents. And it just breaks my heart, Lord. Even Christians message people, Christmas ain't about you. Even a lot of the message people, Christmas ain't about you. It's about families. It's about eating. It's about this, that, the other. It just breaks my heart. How'd that make us feel if on our birthday everybody else got together and talked about all their things and didn't even say nothing to us on our birthday? Most of us, it gets so mad and aggravated. Lord Jesus, I want to say today, I thank you for coming to the earth. I know it wasn't December 25th. The real meaning of Christmas to us ain't no bunch of Christmas trees and Christmas lights and gifts and presents. The real meaning to us, we will go back to heaven through the original Christmas gift. It is our entrance back into paradise. I thank you for coming to the earth, Lord God, to become a man. May we not forget it in all this season of spending and running and this and that and the other. May we take time to bow our heads and thank you for the true, original, only Christmas gift, Jesus Christ. We love you today, Father. Praise God. How many loves the Lord with all your heart? How many wants to be an overcomer? Would you just raise your hand to God? Let this be your testimony. Lord, I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to just be delivered. Notice that word, I have been delivered. But that is past tense. But if you say, I am an overcomer, it is actually an ongoing testimony. Ongoing. Overcomers make mistakes sometimes. Joshua was a great overcomer, yet Joshua had some poor judgment. Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeonites, and we know his failures. It still didn't stop him from being an overcomer. He just made right that thing and went right on. And that's your life as a child of God. Hey, let's sing the song we were singing earlier. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. How many knows you're in a battle? How many knows you're going to win? Amen. You lose battles every now and then, Brother Donnie? Sure have. I've hung my head in shame. But I've already won the war. By God's grace, Brother Gene, we're more than conquerors. He's already won it for us. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And Paul says in Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhemas of God. Let's sing it together just a little before we go. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. You go in the fear of God. Service Wednesday night. Remember, we won't be having service next Saturday night, but be having service Sunday morning. Let's just come back expecting the Lord to move. My, Donald Trump has won the presidency. Everywhere he's going, people are rallying and rallying. The Wall Street is exploding. People's under such excitement. But it won't take long. They realize he's just another politician. If they can get excited about a man who's never even held a public office before, how excited you ought to be about your king. Amen. Your promises in the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. I don't care how much Mr. Trump says we're going to make America great again. I hate to tell him, he's got the wrong message. America will never be great again. She's missed her day. But God said something about you. After Eve fell, I'll make the bride great again. Amen. And you're going to arrive, my brother, sister. Go in the fear of God. See you Wednesday night, Lord willing. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. I promised him that I serve him till I die, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I left my friends and kindred, bound bound for the promised land. The grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand, and distant lands I trod, crying sin.